Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, which is Mary's song of praise, also called the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation, for he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." We love our hymns this time of year, and so many classics, so many great ones. So today I want to invoke another one. I wanted to begin my sermon with the classical hymn by the three prophets, Three Dog Night. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him a drink his wine, and he always had some mighty fine wine, singing joy to the world, all the boys and girls. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. This morning, as you have guessed, and if you have been in watching the videos for the last few weeks, you know the way this one will go. Today, we're going to dive headfirst into joy. Advent joy. This is the season of joy. It's a time where it is said, joy has come. It's a time where we sing joy to the world, and today we light the candle of joy. This candle, the odd one out, the glowing one, the only pink candle that stands amongst the three purple. Even if we know nothing of church tradition, it doesn't take much to know that today is special. Today is special because of joy. The candle is pink because of joy. It's called Gaudete Sunday traditionally, and it's from the Latin, which means to rejoice or be joyful. And to give you the briefest of history lesson, the color goes back to a single pink rose during the season of Lent. During the Lenten season that was traditionally marked with fasting, the early church singled out a single Sunday to feast and celebrate the coming joy of the resurrection. On that day, the Pope would actually give out a single pink rose to honor an outstanding citizen. Clergy even began to wear pink vestments and decorate the church in pink to mark the day. Well, we've lost the seven candles of Lent, but we have gained the four candles of Advent. And in amidst the four candles, we see this pink single candle, the candle of joy. But now I ask, and I want us to explore, what is joy? We know we're supposed to exclaim and proclaim joy to the world, but have we stopped and think what we are exclaiming and proclaiming? This could really be a hard question to answer. I mean, there can be so many different things that bring us joy. Joy for me is probably not the same for you. The TV, you know, has been offering hundreds of different shopping ideas, each one that's guaranteed to bring joy. Get a new car wrapped in a big red bow. Get that diamond necklace, the earring set. Get that shiny new PlayStation 5. But then there's the joy of family, the joy of the job well done. And we can go on and on. I guess if we're going to get anywhere, we must ask, why on earth, like we said, is that candle pink? Now, we have the historical reason, but what is the theological reason behind the pink color? It's not pink for the sake of cars or jewelry or electronics, or it's not pink for family or job satisfaction. So why is it pink? And is there such a thing as church joy? Here's something, you know, that I observed once long before I was a pastor. There's a small boy in the pew in front of me and suddenly turned around with this huge smile on his face. And he looked from person to person, you know, smile stretching all the way back, all the way to the back rows. And he wasn't gurgling, spitting, humming, tearing apart the hymn books as you think he was. He wasn't rummaging through his mother's purse. He's just smiling. And suddenly his mom, in this kind of stage whisper that everyone could hear, says, "Stop grinning. You're in church." And he starts to cry with tears rolling down his face. And she said, "That's better." While humorous, I feel that that's this, the honesty of this story. Church is not always the place that we think of when we think of smiling. It's often the place where we go when things get toughest, when we feel like we're in double trouble. It's where we find the doors open and candles being lit in the wake of national crises, bad things that happen. This is where people bring their biggest, their heaviest burdens to lay down at the foot of the cross. And yet practically, we see the weight of their shoulders. How can we even possibly think of grinning when the person next to us is on the verge of tears? But the candle is there, the candle of the Advent is not pink for any earthly reason. It's pink for a dear and heavenly reason. It's the great joy of the coming of Christ the Lord. As we journey through Advent to Christmas, where we are coming closer and closer to Bethlehem, we're reminded of what awaits us when we get there. We're reminded of a Savior who brings us something that no one else can give, true joy. And we see this morning our scripture, we see today, we see this time our scripture, it's well known, it's Mary's song. It's called the Magnificat because it starts with the words, "My soul magnifies the Lord." But the song is so much more. It's not just, it's a prelude to the Gospel of Luke. You know, theologians like Dominic Crossan and other theologians call it an overture to the Gospels. And it's that for sure. It tells of what the ministry of what Jesus is going to do looks like. For what Luke saw was Jesus's focus. But when we hear these words, we hear the song that Mary sang when she found out that she was going to be the mother of God, we can see why God chose Mary. She had wisdom and understanding on the large plans of God, whom she greatly loved. Mary looked around the world at the things that, the way that they were, and said, "You know, God is going to do something to make things different. God's going to find a way to change the world." But there's more to this simple song for us today. It's going to help remind us what joy really is in the Advent season, what Advent joy is. And as usual, we have to chip away at our understanding of it to find the true meaning, the biblical Christian meaning of joy. And it's not like what we tend to think. Like hope before, which we use interchangeably with wish, we wish and hope for the same things, or love with liking a lot. We know happiness and joy, we use them interchangeably. Elation, excitement, that warm, fuzzy feeling. Or when we see people opening a gift, usually children, it's like the one gift that they want, so they rip the box open, they're screaming. You know, you can watch YouTube videos of kids, you know, celebrating their Christmas gifts. But what is the same is the happiness, but it's more than just being happy. It's like overwhelming. Like we said, it's shrieking and all these other things. All, you know, when the one thing that they wanted is in their hands. So that's part of it. That's part of like extreme happiness. Because joy is something that doesn't come and go. Because the happiness, the elation of the gift that is long awaited, after a while loses its newness, loses that inspiration of elation that we're so used to. So biblical joy, Advent joy, can't be that, because it's something that does not come and go. Joy is not dependent on circumstances, but it's more than that. It transcends that. The pastor theologian Charles Spurgeon puts it this way: there's a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. Based on this, joy is so much more and so much more important in the day-to-day life of us as followers of Jesus than we could even imagine. Joy is the oil that makes all that we do easier. Joy is our strength. Joy is the thing that emanates and resonates. Joy truly and literally throbs throughout the scriptures. It's a profound, compelling quality of life, one which transcends events and disasters which dog God's people. Joy is a divine dimension of living that is not shackled by circumstance. We see in the hardest of times from the so-called heroes of faith throughout the scriptures and history, from losses of loved ones to being in prison to being dejected, rejected, stoned. Paul in prison, chained and singing praises to God. Stephen in the book of Acts, who's about to die, looking up and rejoicing, being joyful as he looks up to heaven. Joy, you know, no matter what the circumstances in life, joy fits. The Hebrew word for joy, it means to leap, spin around with pleasure. In the New Testament, it refers to gladness, bliss, and celebration. This is what we're talking about. So how can we have this joy all the time? How do we do this day to day? What is it to have joy when things around us, the world, circumstances, are not exactly like that? Aren't joy conducive to joy? When we look around and do not see reasons to celebrate, or can we see reasons for joy, but we see them when there's injustice, hurt, pain? Scripture makes it really clear, and I think this passage makes it really crystal clear for us how to do this. Why does Mary rejoice? She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowness or low estate of his servant." She rejoices. Why? She has joy. Why? Because God looked on her with favor. But what does that mean? Because a quick look at the situation that Mary found herself in, it doesn't look like favor to me. By what? Having her be pregnant while not married in a culture that was looking for reasons to ostracize people? Showing favor on picking her to be the mother of God? By choosing someone who didn't have much power, access to the comforts of life to be in this position? Talk about pressure, not just to be a parent, but her to be the mother of God. If Mary's anything like me as a parent, I started off with these great aspirations of children's, I'm going to teach them all the different languages I know, and physics, and literary criticism, and now I just want to keep them clothed and alive. You know, the victory is getting them out of the house with like the right pair of shoes on. If this is favor for Mary in saying, "Thank you, God, for this favor that you've looked down," it's a very similar to me when I was in middle school. My mom went and bought me sneakers. She came back with the sneakers, but it turned out that she didn't notice that the sneakers in the back, they lit up. A middle school kid with light up sneakers. Yeah, mom, like, don't do me any favors, right? You know, thank you so much for the shoes, but that's not going to help me in middle school to have light up shoes as like a middle school aged kid. But it's the same thing with God and Mary in the situation that she was saying a resounding, powerful yes to. So what is happening with Mary? She is not any of those things none of those things are the things that give Mary her joy. Her joy rests because God, in God's amazing strength, this most powerful being in the universe and awesomeness, he picked her. A nobody in her time and culture, God chose her to play a role, whether big or small, it didn't matter to her. Her joy comes not from the great weight of expectations, but on the simple truth that God picked her to do something for God, that God thinks she is somebody. That is joy. That's biblical joy. So true joy, church joy, Advent joy, whatever we want to call it, comes from the simple idea of just having purpose. If that is the case, not just for Mary, Paul, the prophets, or King David before, we can all have that joy. We can all have this joy because God has already chosen each and every one of us at this moment to join in the joy of being a part of God's kingdom. Like Mary's song, her soul magnifies the Lord. All that she does, her purpose is to make God bigger. We can bask in the glow of joy that each of us is somebody in the kingdom of God, being somebody in the only way that really matters. All of us can have this true joy right now. Any of us, no matter who we are, our talent set, our work history, our height, our weight, our hairline, our clothing, smart, not so smart, we can, each of us, be a cog in the machine, the God machine, that is busy turning the tables of the power structures in the world, serving people, caring for people. We can be about the inbreaking of God's kingdom in this world. It is joyful to be doing something important and being part of something important. As I thought about this, I thought about my, you know, being in high school and being on the swim team. Because even though it was difficult and we worked really hard and we had each other, There was a joy that even though it was hard to wake up in the morning and go to the pool and swim and lift weights and push ourselves and things like that, being a part of a team that would go on to win the state championship or to compete for the state championship, being a part of that was there was so much joy. Even though even not every day was easy, there was still joy because we were part of something bigger than ourselves. And that is what we have with this season of Advent as we come into Christmas together. What is our purpose? We're called to make God known. We can be busy impacting the world in big and small ways for God. We can be voice for the humans that are voiceless. We can help feed people who are hungry. We can help those who can't read to read. We can live in a way that doesn't eradicate poverty, but we can make a dent in it in our own way. We can pray for anyone and everyone. We can always find ways of being and doing things for God. God has something for all of us to be doing in service to God, no matter what our situation is. And joy comes from the purpose by doing the things that we're made, created by God to be doing. But more than that, joy is also found in that old cliche, that true joy is found in that idiom that it is better to give than to receive. But it's not a cliche. True joy comes from the give, the act of giving and doing. Advent joy is found not when we focus on ourselves and our wants, but when we turn our vision outward, when we find moment after moment ways to be giving, living, loving. Joy comes in caring for the ones in need and doing the work of God's hand. True joy is found in being focused on others. Biblical joy is a byproduct of obedience. If we find joy in giving, then we can always find ways and situations to give, and in doing so, be so joyful. We can, like that song, sing, "I've got that joy, joy, joy down in my heart." So who wants joy this holiday season and beyond? Well, we'll have it. We can get Sundays. We get Sundays like this. We get Gaudete Sunday. We get the pink candle Sunday so we can not forget in the midst of the bigness and the difficult circumstances and not get distracted by those things. We get a moment to kind of slow down as we've done through this Advent season and really not get distracted by the things that would pull us away from this idea. Look at Mary. She had so many reasons to say, "No way, no thank you. I'm not," let alone rejoice in it, that we can get bogged down in the same ways, and it can suck our joy. It can suck the joy away. But they are distractions. Mary didn't let the bigness of all the things to come hinder her or hold back her rejoicing in God. She didn't look down the road in the hardness, but she held on to her purpose, and she relished in it. And we can do that too. So we start today not looking to things that we think bring joy, and that culture says bring joy, and that we've taught bring joy, but we go right to the source. During Advent, let's look upon the pink candle to remind us that joy comes from purpose. This is contagious because think of the times when you meet someone who really enjoys what they're doing. Think about the impact that we have and can have in this season if we seek this purpose, exude and overflow with joy that comes from following God. That when you meet someone who's doing the thing that they just really enjoy and they love and they just enlivened by it, and it emanates out of them. You can say, "Wow, that person is meant to be doing that." That's the joy that we're talking about. And so we can be eager to sing our joyful Christmas carols and music that's imprinted in our hearts and souls. But just as Mary's own song was part of who she was, these songs need to be a part of us. We need to linger for a while on Mary's song. The tables turned upside down, feast for the poor and the hungry, joy being a part of things the way that they're supposed to be as opposed to the status quo. That we can ponder our purpose and find joy like she did in just a simple idea that we are chosen by God. That we're chosen, we're picked, we're important too in the greatest kingdom. The greatest thing that's the greatest narrative, the greatest story that's unfolding, we are players in that play. In a world that longs for peace and the sharing of all these things, we stand shoulder to shoulder with Mary, expectant with hope, listening for God's own heartbeat, which is a heartbeat of justice, compassion, and transformational love. Knowing joy comes from not lifting ourselves up, but lifting up the lowly as we stand together shoulder to shoulder. Robert Rainey says it this way: "Joy is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. Joy is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. So this Advent, let's let the true king reign, reside in our heart, and just do what God tells us to do. And people will feel that love, and that love, see the joy of serving something beyond ourselves. So this time, that ache, that pang, when you see someone in need, someone is low, listen to that inkling to care for that person in all the different ways. That is our purpose. Let the flag of joy wave proudly in service to the God Almighty. This is the joy to the world that we have to proclaim purpose, and that purpose is wonderful. It's wonderfully life-giving. Joy to the world, and as the Three Dog Night said, joy to you and me. Amen.